Brethren, would you please turn in the Old Testament to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, we were in this same general area last week, I believe. Maybe the week before, too. 1 Kings chapter 18. I want to read one verse. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Verse 21. The Word of God says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." If I read that correctly, brethren, that's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. O Lord God, add your blessing to the reading of your word, and now enable me to preach your word, O God, that you would be glorified and honored, and we would all be edified, that is, established in the truth, educated in it, trained in it. In the name of Jesus, we beg it. Amen. Our week of church camp is next week. We have some visitors today, such as Katie, you were in the choir. I couldn't see you out there. Welcome back. Welcome back. We've missed you. I'm glad you're here. Such as Katie's here for the reason of camp. And Sister Clara's here. And we just have camp preparations on our mind. And we're gathering next week. We're going to learn, God willing. We're going to worship. We're going to have classes. We're going to sing. We're going to do crafts. We're going to make new friends and reestablish old friends, friendships. The theme, brethren, the theme of camp next week is two words. It's called all in. All in. That's the theme. I'm to teach a class of 10 to 12-year-olds. They're called juniors, I think. And I'm to preach on Monday night. Thanks to Brother Victor, I'm selected to preach. He's already told me to keep it brief. So I'm going to try to do that. And I've been working on my lessons. And I've been working on the sermon. And so, brethren, today, this morning, I want to, lack of a better word, practice on you. It won't be as brief as Monday night's sermon, but I'm going to have to condense it down. But I want to bring to you, you have the advantage, brethren, of hearing it first and rejoicing in it. And they'll hear it Monday night, God willing. And I'll have the advantage of having a practice run and also of enjoying the preaching of it also. It'll help me, and God willing, help us all. The lesson on being all in, I want to share with you, and I want to glorify God in it. This is in just a couple of parts. One is going to be, the first is going to be some thoughts about being all in. And then the second part is about a man, this man Elijah, who I believe was one of many Bible heroes and characters who was all in for God. I have a sheet that was sent to me that is the theme for the week of camp, but it also has a theme for each day, each lesson, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I want to bring those in as I try to talk to you, first of all, about being all in. The first Monday's topic, Monday's theme is God is all in. That's what's been sent to me. And I'm to come up, and they sent me a verse, and I was to come up with a lesson on that theme. God is all in. Then on Tuesdays, the world is all in. And they sent me a verse about that. The third lesson, Wednesday, is Jesus is all in. And then, brethren, Thursday, hopefully to bring it all together and as a challenge, is I am all in. That's a good, those are wonderful, I think, themes and lessons to words to begin a lesson on and develop a lesson on. So what I want to do for the first part of the sermon today is I want to give you a sort of a brief outline of what I've come up with, and it's going to be that, and it's to tell you what I'm going to be teaching and ask you to pray for me and the students, and also, brethren, to hear it as a sermon, as a lesson. My thoughts here. After all, that's my job here, to bring you a message from God, hopefully, after studying and praying. For Monday's lesson and for this morning, God is all in, all in, all in. I'm going to ask the children. I'm going to say, what does it mean to you if I say God is all in, or Brother Mike's all in, or the world is all in? What does that mean? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing to be all in? Well, let me tell you, brethren, about God being all in, and you'll know if it's good or bad. God is all in, brethren. He's all in. He's always been. He is now, and He ever will be all in for you. For you. From the foundation of the world, brethren, God's been all in for His people. He's known you from before the foundation of the world. He's chosen you from before the foundation of the world. He created you. He gave up, brethren, His only Son for you. I was going to say to the children, one test, brethren, one test that you can apply to see if something or somebody is all in for you is, what are they willing to give? What are they willing to give? Our theme was taken from an FCA or some kind of a godly organization of young people, athletic, and it's kind of based on athletic contests. And you want to be all in for your team. You want your team members to be all in for you, and you want somebody that's going to give. Sister Caitlin, I meant to give a praise for you. Sister Caitlin is here, and she's the head coach of a softball team. This is going to be your first year as head coach. She's helped before. She played ball, you know. Was a wonderful ball player, was my understanding, and now she's going to teach others. Sister Caitlin, I imagine if I was on your team and I wasn't all in, I'd probably get your wrath, I imagine, or get off the team. I'd probably be all in or all out, would I not? God, brethren, is all in for you. And a test to see if somebody's all in for you is, what are they willing to give? What are they willing to give up? Energy, time, money, things that we value, things that we like, are we willing to give them up for the cause? And God, brethren, I know that He's all in. He tells me all throughout His Word that He's all in. He tells me all over, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before. He tells me all those things. Words, which are great. But He gave, brethren, He gave His only begotten Son. That tells me He's all in. The next one is Tuesday's lesson, The World is All In. I thought of this, brethren, the world. The world wants your attention. It wants your loyalty. It wants your time, your energy. It wants you. The world is all in, or I might say the world is all out to get you. The world doesn't have your best interest in mind. The world, rather than give, brethren, will take from you. It wants you to give of your valuables, and it'll take. And it'll give you nothing back but pain and sorrow and heartache. That's the world. Oh, man. I gave so much of myself to the world in days gone by. Can't change that, but I can do better. I can do better. Judas, the world said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. You give us something in return. At that moment, brethren, Judas, probably there was nothing more precious in the world to him than that bag of silver coins, or whatever it was, some kind of silver, pieces of silver. Probably nothing in the world meant more to him at that moment. But not long after that, brethren, after he had betrayed Christ, he brought him back to the temple. And he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. You know what the world said to him? That's your problem. See thou to that. That's what the King James Version says. That's your problem, buddy. And he threw them down. He threw them down in the temple and ran out. Put a rope around his neck and over a limb and jumped off a rock or a donkey or something. He hanged himself. The world is all in for you, brethren. It's all in for you. Or it's all out for you. It's out to get you. So know that God is all in for you and the world is out to get you. Brother Rapp quoted this morning, I think it was this morning, be on guard because the Satan as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's all out for you, brethren. Then on Wednesday, Jesus is all in. Jesus is, how do we know that? We know, he says to us, I'm the good shepherd. He tells us all of how much he loves us. But brethren, that's words again, and it's wonderful, precious, precious words of God. But also, brethren, we have the historical account that Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. And he gave his life. And that's, what does the song say? He gave his life. What more could he give? What more could he give but his life? Jesus is all in for you. He was in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus, the living Word. And the Word was with God. He was with God in heaven. Yet he left there. He had all glory and honor in heaven above. Perfect bliss, holiness, happiness. He's there, but he left there to come to a sin-cursed world. He gave that up. He gave up his throne. There's an old hymn that says, when I was sinking down, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. The thing is, brethren, you and I weren't sinking down at that time. We were dead in trespasses and we were sunk. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And when we were, brethren, Christ laid aside his crown. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then in verse 14, I think, of John's Gospel, chapter 1, I think it's verse 4, maybe 11, it says, the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, the living Word. Down the column it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was born of a virgin. He was born a human baby. He came to earth. And he lived approximately 33 years on earth. Had no home. He said on one occasion, some man said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. He says, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. His family doubted who he was. One of his apostles betrayed him. One of his apostles said, I don't know him. No. You got it wrong. I don't know him. Said it three times and swore the last time. He was the crown in heaven he laid aside. The one here that he got was a braided vine of thorns. His scepter in heaven is a wonderful scepter. You'll see it one day. But the one he got here was a reed, a pretend scepter. And the robe all in glory, glorious, that you'll see one day. The one he got here was a purple robe, but short and mocking. That's what Jesus gave, brethren. That's what he gave up. Mocking, nailed, scourged, almost beat to death, and then nailed to a cross. I'd say he's all in for me. Because, brethren, that's what it took to save me. And Jesus, brethren, is all in. All in. All in. And then the last day's lesson is, are you all in? Or I am all in for Christ. More on that in a little bit. Now let's go back to the text for today, brethren. I want to read to you about a man that was all in. His name is Elijah. Oh, there are lots of them. When I got my lesson outlines, I took a piece of paper and I started thinking, who in the Bible could I talk about and say they're all in based on their works? Oh, I wrote down lots of them. I'll never get to teach about them next week. There are too many of them. But today, or right now, let's look at this man, brethren, who's all in. We talked about him in the last couple of weeks, I think. I know we did last week. And Elijah, his name is Elijah. He lived during the time of some kings. He lived sort of in Isaiah's day, some of the old prophets. Elijah came unto all the people. He was a prophet in Israel. And I think, brethren, let me see if I can. Yeah, my Bible says 906 BC. It's a question mark. It's question, not exactly sure. That was 906 BC, so almost 1,000 years until Christ was born, would be made flesh and dwell among us. And it's been 2,000 years since then, so we're talking about roughly 3,000 years ago this man lived. But as I said, I think last week, God hasn't changed one bit. And actually, mankind hadn't changed much either. Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, You see, brethren, he came, he had told Ahab, the wicked king, get the people together. Get them together. And they gathered together, thousands probably, that Elijah came before. When I was getting my notes ready for this lesson, brethren, this morning, I practiced already once by myself. Now I'm practicing on you. And tomorrow night, God willing, I'll be ready. But you know what I thought about this morning when I was preaching this over there? Next door, it says, Elijah came unto all the people. He stood before the people, and he starts talking to the people. I mean, would y'all like to do that? Would you like to stand up here? If I said next Sunday, I need you to talk in front of the people. Would you do that? Would you want to do it? Some may. I guess most probably wouldn't. I've heard that public speaking is the most feared thing in the whole country. The people fear that more than anything. I don't know if I've heard that. I don't know if it's true or not. I know this. I don't like to do it. I don't like to do it. When Monday comes, brethren, when Sunday night comes, you can ask Jan. Sunday night, after the service, I am just as relaxed and laid back as I can be. And Monday, it's kind of my day off, sort of. Sometimes I go to the farm. I'll just knock around, do nothing but relax. And then about Tuesday, it occurs to me the week is kind of getting underway here. And then Wednesday, I start thinking about what am I going to preach on Sunday? And am I reading? Am I studying? And then Thursday, it's getting down to serious business. And Friday, And other people on Friday, if I'm out around town, I see it. People are going out to eat. They're going to ball games. They're having a great time. And I'm thinking about Sunday morning. And Saturday is just Saturday. There's a cloud over my head. Listen, I'm called to preach and I love it. And it's my job. And I'm happy right now. I think right now that I am dead center in the will of God. And that makes me feel good. But there's something about standing before people and because you know what? I mean, I don't have to be a perfect saint to tell you how to live your life. I can read it out of the Word of God. But really, if I'm going to stand up here and talk like this, I need to be living, practicing what I preach too. So it's a burden. But it's an opportunity also. But Elijah, he comes before all the people. And I don't know if he felt like I feel or not, but brethren, God called him to do it, so he did it. You know why he did it? Because he is all in. This man right here, brethren, is all in. And when I'm up here preaching and I feel like I'm in the Spirit of God and I've studied and I feel like God's leading me, man, I'm all in. I love it. I love it. I do dread it in a way, but I love it. Elijah, and that's enough of that for me. And I'm sorry I digressed there. Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, and this is what he said, brethren, this man that's all in, he says to every one of those people out there, and there will probably be many thousands, he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Why don't you make up your mind? You're at a fork in the road. You've got a choice here. And he says pretty plainly, brethren, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. You see, in this day, in Elijah's, this point in his day, in his life, Ahab was this wicked king, most wicked king probably of any of the kings of Israel or Judah to ever live. He worshipped Baal, a false god. And he built a temple to Baal. And he had a wife that worshipped Baal. He was an evil man. Some 3.5 years ago, years before this, roughly, Elijah had stood before Ahab. And he said, as I said last Sunday, as the Lord liveth, it's not going to dew nor rain until I say so. And I'm speaking for God, on the authority of God. Time has passed. It's dry. It's ashes. It's awful. There's a famine in the land. And Elijah calls the people together. He tells Ahab, get everybody together. And he gets them together and he says, how long is it going to take y'all to decide who you're going to serve here? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if you think it's Baal, then follow him. And look at this. The people answered not a word. That's telling right there. That's very telling on the people. When you say, all right, what's it going to be? And the person you ask that, they don't answer. They can't decide. They don't know. Can you serve two masters? What did Jesus say about that? No man can serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. Well, the people didn't answer. So Elijah, brethren, I'm digressing here. Let me say, here's something about somebody that's all in. Somebody that's all in, brethren, for God can stand before anyone. Years earlier, Elijah had stood before Ahab, a king that could have said to his bodyguard, take his head off his shoulders right now. He could have said that. But Ahab said, O king, as the Lord lives, it's not going to rain nor dew till I say so. He stood before the wicked king Ahab, and this day he's standing before the nation of Israel, proclaiming God's word in God's way. So I want to say to you, brethren, and I'm going to say, God willing, next week to those 10 to 12-year-olds in my class, I'm going to say, if you're all in for God, at your school, on the ball court, wherever you are, if you're all in for God, you can stand before anybody. Just think about Elijah and what he was able to do. The next thing, brethren, that about a man or woman or boy or girl who's all in, God will work through someone who is all in for him. You can stand before anybody, and God will work through you. Did God work through Elijah? Elijah said, by the way, not only call the nation of Israel together, but call the prophets of Baal. Call the preachers of Baal. Call the Baal representatives. Get them together. There's 450 of them. And then there was 400 more of some other kind, but they're mentioned. But I think in this contest, he said, we're going to have a contest here on Mount Carmel. We got two bullocks here, and we got two altars. The altar of God's all broken down because people haven't been using it. Altar of Baal is here. You guys go first. You go first. Slay the bullock, cut him up, put the wood on there, put him on top of the wood, and go ahead and call down fire from heaven, from Baal, or not from heaven, but from Baal. Your God, go ahead. And so he probably has a seat over here and does this. Starts, okay, go ahead, I'm waiting, go ahead. Well, they enter into chants and prayers. Old Baal, they call him, and they want him to burn up the sacrifice that we've set up here to Baal. They go on, they start in the morning, they go through lunch, and they go early afternoon, is my understanding. Elijah at one point says, maybe you should cry louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe Baal's asleep. Or maybe he's going on a hunting trip. Or maybe, why don't he give three or four things. He's kind of ridiculing them. And they go to the point, brethren, where they take lancets and they cut their skin and bleed to Baal. Well, you know, the Word of God says there was not a sound. Not a sound. You know why? Because Baal, brethren, he has ears, but he can't hear. He has eyes, but he can't see. He has a mouth, but he can't speak. He's a false god. And when they gave up, brethren, Elijah, he goes to work on the broken down altar of God. And he rebuilds it. He takes 12 stones. Why 12? 12 tribes, right? 12 tribes representing God's people, the nation of Israel. He takes 12 stones and puts them in order there. And then he puts wood on top of them. And then he slays the bullock, his bullock, and cuts it up and lays it on the wood. And he says to assistants there, he says, get some water. Get some water and pour on it. And they do it. He says, do it again. They do it. He said, do it again. I think it was 3 times. I'm not sure. 4 barrels of water. But he had dug a trench around the altar that he had rebuilt. And the trench, the ditch, filled up with water. So there you have it. There it is. You ever tried to start a fire with wet wood? No problem for God, is it? Elijah's demonstrating that. And then, brethren, and then Elijah, it came to pass that about the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known. You see, he says, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Who's God? The Lord, or is it Baal? Elijah says, let it be known right now, God, let it be known this day that thou art God, that you're God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That's another thing, brethren, about somebody that's all out for God. God hears them. He hears their prayers. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again, back to God. Listen to this. What happened, brethren? It's verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. That's the little bullock. And the wood that was soaking wet. And the stones. You ever try to burn up a stone? Stones don't burn, do they? Typically. And the dust. And licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. Now they're ready to speak. Here's what they said. And they said, they said this not once, but twice. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. The third thing, brethren, about somebody that's all in for God is this. And there are more. This is just 3. God takes care of people that are all in for Him. He takes care of people that are all in for Him. When Elijah first stood before Ahab and said, it's not going to rain or dew until I say so. You see, brethren, that was an agricultural economy in Elijah's day. He was talking to a king whose kingdom, his revenues, depended on agriculture. And we keenly know that plants need rain, don't we? Fields need rain to produce. And this man of God is standing before the king and saying, the rain is over. Not going to rain anymore till I say so. I had this thought this morning. I don't know if I should say it or not. Maybe it'll help. It would be sort of like me going to the biggest farmer in this county and saying, because of the way you've been living, no more rain. And in addition, your pivots are all going to go dry right now. Go out there and turn them on and see what happens. No water until you straighten up. See, I don't want to do that, and I don't think the Lord's called me to do that. But that's sort of the way it was between Ahab, the king, and Elijah. Elijah said, it's over. No more rain. Till I say it. And I'm not going to say it till God tells me. But you see, when somebody's all in for God, He takes care of them. God told Elijah, now you leave before Ahab. You go to the brook and you're going to drink water out of that brook. We talked about this last week. And the ravens are going to feed you. Elijah, tough times are coming. You know it, but I'm going to be there for you. And the ravens, we said last week, brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank from the brook. God takes care of those who are all in for him. The brook went dry, though, Brother Mike. What happened then? Well, did that surprise God? God told Elijah, he said, you go to Zarephath now. There's a widow woman there. She has no husband, has a child. You go, and she'll take care of you. He gets there, and the woman says, well, I'll do that. I'll let you share in the food I have. But what I have is a little handful of meal and a little bit, enough oil to cook it. And that's it. That's all I've got. But God taking care of Elijah, Elijah said, ma'am, you just cook that like I asked you to do, and the meal and oil will not fail. It'll be there every day for you. Sure enough, she did it, and it was there every day. When she went back to the container where she kept her meal and her oil, enough for today, enough for the day. Not enough for tomorrow or next week, but enough for today. Every day. God multiplied it. Any people who are all in can stand before anyone. God works through people who are all in. God takes care of those who are all in for him. And that widow's oil and meal lasted until the rain came. Elijah would go up on Mount Carmel and ask his... He'd begin praying. He began praying for rain. After that, pretty soon after that contest on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, he went up and he began to pray for rain. And he prayed, and God heard him. God hears the prayers of those who are all in for him. And it began to rain. First of all, the sky was clear and blue. It was another one of those pretty days with no rain forecast, no clouds in the sky. Elijah began praying, and God began hearing. And he sent his servant and said, go look out, go look. And the servant went and came back and said, nope. He said, go look again. He kept praying. 7 times the man went and looked. And the 7th time, he said, there's a little cloud out above the sea. That would be the Mediterranean Sea where they were. About the size of a man, or it looks like a man's hand. You know what? Ahab was around, and Elijah went to him. He said, you better gird up your loins and you better ride because it's fixing to rain. The sound of abundance of rain is coming. And it did. And it came a downpour that day. The drought was over. God hears the prayers of those that are all in for him. Now to close, brethren, to close. God was, is, and ever will be all in for you. God the Father. God the Son is all in for you. He died for you and rose again for your justification. Are you all in for God? And I'm asking myself this too, brethren. Am I all in for God, or am I halting between two opinions? Am I trying to serve the world and God at the same time? It can't be done. It cannot be done. You're either serving God or you're serving the world. No middle ground. There's none. Will you be an Elijah? Will you be all in for God? Will you say, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. You have that choice to make, brethren. You have that choice to make every day. Not once for life. It's good to do that, okay, and say, I'm all in for God. But it's an everyday thing. And it's more than once a day sometimes whether you're going to be all in for Him or not. Oh, well, I studied it, and I want to try to present it next week. But you know what I want more than anything is I want to be convicted in my own heart. I want to be all in for God. That's what I want to be. Oh, Lord God, may we be all in for you. We thank you that you are all in for us, that you chose us from before the foundation of the world, loving us, choosing us in Christ Jesus, to be conformed to the image of Christ one day in heaven. You visited us with your Holy Spirit. You sent him to teach us of our sin and of our Savior. And our Savior has come and died and paying it all for us. Jesus, paying it all. All to him we owe. Help us, O God, to be all in for you. We pray Help us to know the world's all out for us to get us. Satan, the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Oh Lord, help us to avoid the one that walks about to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Bless us to know, Lord, that you work through those who are all in for you. You hear their prayers. You take care of those. You love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.